Hello viewers, this is Expose again. I welcome you to a new day and a fresh opportunity to look at this mind business we started yesterday in the Prodigal Father series, you know. We studied the thought patterns of these two sons yesterday, and we found out that though they look different, that is the elder and the younger son, but we find out that strangely they are just the same in their thought. Because why the one that was in the house, in the field, and the one that went out of the house, they were thinking the same way, thinking as slave. One wasting as slave and one slaving out for the father as slave. And so today we want to explore deeper on this concept, the mind. And know that if it doesn't matter where we are, whether in the house or in the field, if we carry the mind of a slave, we have the slave mentality, there's no benefit, the riches, the wealth in the house. So today I would like to ask you, because I remember during the part of the story, the younger son was doing some reflection, because at the time he said, I will go. He sat back to think, I will go back to my father. That was part of like mind mining too. Yeah. Well, we found out that even in that reflection, he was thinking like a slave. He said, I will go and tell him I'm a slave again. So it's not about how often, how many times do we have to do something to be effective?
Well, thank you for that. And you see, what we've established so far on this series is the significance of the fact that it doesn't matter what we profess as Christians. I mean, a lot of Christians are very good professors. If you notice that the younger son said, my father, divide a portion that actually is due to me. You see, we keep looking at the fact that he keeps saying my father, but his thinking, his reasoning, his mindset is not that of a son of a father. His mindset was that of a slave. So it's not what we say that actually matters. What eventually happens to us is what we think about ourselves. And we said yesterday that the scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart,
so easy.
And then we also made a statement that says, God knows what he thinks about us. Jeremiah 29:11, God said, I know the thought I think towards you. God can vouch for his thought towards us, but eventually what we'll end up receiving is what we think about ourselves and what we think about God. And that's the reason why every Christian cannot afford not to take control of their mind. In fact, the book of Peter says, guide up the loins of your mind, because that's the most critical part. It doesn't matter what God has done or given. What we end up getting is what we think. And that's the reason why we've been looking at that, how this affected the younger son and the elder son in Luke chapter 15. And then, so today we're going to carry on with this. And before we move on, because where we stopped exactly yesterday was to actually begin to look how will the younger son and elder son go about actually setting up their minds in the right frame to actually allow them to receive what the father wanted them to have. But before we go on with this, I want our viewers to think about something on this parable that Jesus gave in Luke 15. Have you noticed that even though the younger son was addressed by the father as a son, even when he got back home, the father said, this my son who was dead is now alive again. The father called him my son. And also the same thing applies to the elder son, because in the last few verses, 31 and 32, the father called the elder son. He said, you are my son and you're in the house forever. So what we found out is the father was ever constant in the way he addressed the two sons. The father never changed. But what actually was changing was the way they saw themselves. And that's the whole morale of that parable. And I wanted to think about something. You see, when God speaks to you and I, you've got to understand that the Bible says we are spirit, soul, and body. The book of Thessalonians says our spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless to the coming of the Lord Jesus. I think most Christians cannot understand the distinctions of this part that makes us up. And let's look at this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We're not going to open that scripture, but we're going to talk about it. The Bible says the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's able to make a distinction. Now, it's able to make a distinction between what is of the spirit, what is of the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotion, and what is of the body, because it talks about the joint and the marrows. It means when God speaks his word, the word of God has the potency to separate between what it's speaking to. And you see, as Christians, we need to look at the word of God and understand what God is addressing in us when he speaks to us. Is God talking to my spirit, or is he addressing my mind? And I think most Christians get confused at this stage of looking at the word of God. For example, When the Bible says, you are a holy nation. Can you see that? You are a holy nation. And you look at yourself and say, come on, am I holy? Am I perfect? If God says that you're a holy nation, he's not talking to your mind. He's not talking to your body. He's talking to your spirit. Mm-hmm. And then the same word of God says, be ye holy as your heavenly Father is what? Only mm-hmm. at that stage, he's not talking to your spirit, because your spirit man is as perfect as Christ is perfect. At that stage, he's talking to your mind. And I think, you see, when the Father spoke to them and said, my younger son, and when the Father spoke to the elder son as my son, the Father was talking to the reality of who they are in their spirit, who they really are. But it's one thing when God speaks to our spirit, and it's a whole different thing when God is addressing what? Our minds. Now, today, we'll be talking about how do we set up our minds in a way that we not block our capacity to receive what God wants to have for us. And that's what we're looking at today. And our viewers, I wanted to go quickly to the book of Colossians. We're looking at that today. Colossians chapter 3. Now, see what it says. It says, verse 1, Colossians 3, 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Now, it says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Now, verse 2 says, set your mind. Now, if you read the NLT translation, NIV translation, it says, set your mind. Some other translation says, set your affection. Now, look at this. Set your mind. Mm-hmm. Now, this is very important. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, if you then be what? Risen with Christ. It means if you know your position, if you know your current status, if you know what God has made of you. And I think this is very pathetic, because even some Christians are not even in verse 1. Now, let's say that again, because verse 2 talks about setting your mind. You know, when you set something, it means you're tuning your mind. You're tuning your thinking. Now, you don't tune your thinking unless there's something you want to tune to. For example, if you're going to set your thermostat or you're going to set your temperature control, you at least have to have in mind the value you want to set it to. Yeah. Now, the Bible says in verse 1, if you know already that you are risen with Christ, if you know what the Father calls you, and I say, some Christians cannot even articulate. They cannot even tell you what the Father calls them. Mm-hmm. They can't even go on to verse 2 in talking about setting their mind.
I know what to set it to.
What are you setting your mind to? And I think this is where we have a big problem.
What's the point?
Where are we setting our mind to? And that's the reason why when the elder son, have you noticed when the elder son complained? Because I was wondering, if the Father divided inheritance between the younger son and the elder son, and it's amazing, we said it yesterday, that the younger son asked for the inheritance. But Luke 15 verse 12 tells us when the father divided the inheritance, it divided between both of them. That means the elder son also got a portion. But when the elder son complained to the father and said, you did not give me a young goat, I was expecting the father to change the strategy, to say, you know one thing, my son, I think you're not getting this point. Let us make you get this whole point. But the father kept saying one thing, you are my son. And you see, I was wondering, would the father do something different to make the elder son get the point that you cannot convince me to be good to you? You cannot pressurize me to be good to you, because I already gave you. You are a son in the house. And I think this is where some Christians are stumbling, because we think we can convince a God that is good to give. He is good and he gives because he loves us. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave. God's giving is on his nature. It's got nothing to do with your prayer point. It's got nothing to do with your fasting. So I was wondering that a father should try to convince the elder son why he has been good to him and has given him all that matters and all he needs. But you see, the father said one thing. He said, you are my son. God will never change his speech. God will never change what he has done. God will never change what he has sorted out just because I'm going to convince him to be good to you. He is already good and he has given all you need to you. The father will keep saying, my son. It means then what we need to do is we need to understand. Colossians 3:1 says, if you be risen with what?
With Christ.
And I think if we spend our time, if we spend our energy, if we dissipate our effort to understand what am I? Where am I? What is my status? What is my position? What did God make out of me at redemption? And I think that's where we're supposed to start from. And I think the reason why there are so many charlatans in the body of Christ, where people have been merchandised, where people have been messed up here and there, is because we have a bunch of Christians who are not laboring in the word. We cannot even say categorically what God has made of us in redemption, where we are seated, what is our position. So verse 1 of Colossians 3 says, before we can talk about setting our mind in verse 2, verse 1 says, This applies to those who even have the revelation that they are seated with Christ in the heavenly places.
That was an interesting analogy about the control, the thermostat.
You're
talking about before you even say something, there must be a number you're looking to.
You cannot set your mind unless you have a value. You can't even set your mind unless you have a value. So it means we can't even talk about mind. See, we talk about, you talk about Christians trying to renew their minds.
Realignment, all those
Some things. Christians, you can't even tell them to renew their minds. Renew their minds to what? They can't even... Like we said, they can't even articulate. They can't even tell you.
They don't know what to renew it to.
What am I renewing my mind into? We need to understand where we are in Christ Jesus. So the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, if you've been risen with Christ, if you know your position, if you know that you are in Christ and Christ is in you, if you know that God has made you as righteous as Christ is righteous. The Bible says he that knew no sin was made sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. You are as perfect in your spirit as Christ was perfect. Paul said, if you know these things, so let's talk about renewing your mind in verse 2 of Colossians 3. So if you are still in verse 1, you have work to do. You need to labor in the word to see yourself how God sees you. That's why we talked about this episode before. Now, I think if you're just joining us on this series, we would advise that you go and check one of our series that we titled All Things Are Yours. That's a very good title to listen to on this expose. You can get that on the expose 247 page. And also, you can also check another title that we did. And I think that's about when we look at James chapter 1, verse 16, where we talk about faith does not move God. Those two series would actually enlighten you to understand what God did to you at redemption. So, unless this is clarified, verse 2 of Colossians 3 would not make any sense. Now, let's go on to verse 2. Now, Colossians 3:2 says, if you know what happened to you, if you know the name the Father calls you, if you are the elder son, the Father calls you a son, if you are the younger son in Luke 15, the Father calls you a son, if we know this, let's get on to verse 2 of Colossians 3. You see that? Let's go to verse 2. Now, it says, now, you see, this is amazing. It means you cannot stop in verse 1. Because I know, you know, people talk about the Father. You know one thing? If I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that's it. I can run off without revelation. Listen, you cannot run off with Colossians 3:1. You cannot say that. And that's what happens to those who teach grace of God without understanding the influence and the impact of our minds. You see, grace makes no sense if our minds does not align with what God did in Christ. So we cannot stop in Colossians 3:1. We can't. We know we are seated with Christ. We know we are in the position with God that Christ is. We know the Father accepts us the same way he accepts Christ Jesus. That's good, but we can't stop there. He said that will not produce the desired results. So Colossians 3:2. See, how did I know he wouldn't produce the desired results? See the two sons, the younger son and the elder son. The Father called them what? My son. But you see what happened? See what happened to the younger son? See, he went out and he wasted his resources and he messed up his life. He was eating with the pigs. See the elder son, the Father called him my son, but yet he was in the house and could not even access the Father's goodness. It means it's not enough that you are seated with Christ. Your mind needs to come into this. Your will needs to come into this. Your emotion needs to come into this. So let's go on to verse 2 of Colossians 3. So verse 1 again, verse 1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those which are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Now verse 2, this is it. It said, set your mind, your affection. Now, like I said, if you check some translations, if you check the New International Version, it says set your mind. NLT says set your mind. KJV says set your affection. Now, this is about your mentality. It says set your mind on things above. Now, when it says things above, I presume you know it's not just talking about look into the sky and look at things up there in heaven, because we need to clarify that. When it says set your mind on things above, it's talking about, you see, if you read 1 Corinthians 15, it says we bore the nature of the earthly man. It said in the same way we bore the nature of the earthly man, we need to bear the nature of the heavenly man. Now, you see, there's a heaven in you. You see, God has packaged everything of heaven in your spirit. That's why the Bible says that if anybody has the Son, he has life. He said, God, he said, this is the record that God has given us life. And that life is in his Son. God has put all of his life in Christ. And it says, if anybody has Christ, they've got the life of God, the nature, Zoe, of God. God is in your spirit. Now, heaven is not just high up in the sky. Heaven is in your spirit. And that's why when Jesus Christ was speaking in John chapter 3, it was very confusing to the Pharisees in John chapter 3. Jesus said to them, he said, nobody has been to heaven except the Son of Man who is in heaven. I'll repeat that again. Now, Jesus was on the earth when he was talking to Nicodemus. Jesus Christ said, nobody has gone to heaven except the Son of Man who is in heaven. So Jesus was saying to them, that as I'm talking to you, I am in heaven. Now, he wasn't talking about his earthly body. He was talking about is the Christ, the spirit of Christ. And I see, we need to understand that the spirit man that we have in us, the new man, is called the heavenly man in 1 Corinthians 15. So the Bible says, if you are seated with Christ in that location, he said, you need to set your mind onto heavenly things. You need to set your mind on things that pertains to the heavenly man. You need to set your mind on things that pertains to the new man. It means set. Now, mark that word, set. Now, this comes to mind when we're talking about your thermostat. It means you retune. Now, if you ask a thermostat, if a thermostat can talk, if you ask a thermostat, how many times do you have to go back? Let's imagine if you want your room to be at 25 degrees Celsius, 25 degrees, that's where you want your room to be. Now, if you want that temperature of 25 to maintain in your room, what you do is you set your thermostat to 25 degrees. What that means is if the temperature falls below 25, if it falls to 24 degrees, the thermostat will bring it back up again. Now, the fact is, if you ask the thermostat how many times you need to go, keep going back to 25, the thermostat will tell you as long as the temperature goes below 25, I will keep going back to 25. It can happen 5 times every day. It can happen 25 times. It depends on how many times the temperature goes below 25. It will keep going back up. The Bible says you and I have a lot of setting to do. It says set your mind. It means every time your environment, every time your circumstances, every time your body feelings, every time your things around you goes below what is expected of somebody who has a new creation spirit in him.
Below the value of heaven.
Anytime your experience goes below the value of heaven, that's the word. It says you have to what? Reset your mind. And you can do that 5 times every day. You can do that 25 times or 1,000 times. You have to keep doing that as many times as it goes below the standard. And that's the word. So the fact is, the elder son and the younger son in Luke 15 had a problem. You see, the problem they had at that point was, like the younger son, who actually had the inheritance, as he got it from the father, there was a slave mentality that entered into his mind because he had to leave home. And the Bible says only slaves leave the house. He said the son stays in the house forever. That's what the scripture says to us. Now, it means for him to think about leaving home and wasting his resources, it's a slave mentality. And as soon as that mentality came into his mind, the next thing he should have done was to reset it back again and say, you know what? No. I am a son of the Father, and as a son, I stay in the house forever. And you see, that's the point. Every time things come to you, every time things hit you, and that thing tells you this is who you are, you can say, no, that is not the nature of the heavenly man. I've got to set my mind on things above. This is active. And you see, this is our spiritual warfare. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 tells us, it tells us that it says, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty through God. To the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imaginations. He said, every high thing that exalts itself against God's knowledge. Now watch this. He said, bringing into captivity, hijacking. It is resetting. Can you see that? It's an active thing we have to do. This is warfare. People talk about shooting demons and shooting down. But listen, the greatest warfare you would do is to set your mind. It's a warfare because it's an attack on your mind. And you see, your bodily experience, what you will actually experience in your life, is not just what God has given you. It is what you think about yourself. Now, and I think that should be something that should sink down into our understanding today. It's what you end up experiencing as a Christian is not what God has given you. And I think instead of we spending so much energy and time trying to convince God, and like we said yesterday, it's towards the end of the year now. And it's December 31st is coming it's in the next few days. And people will try to convince God to bless them and favor them in 2017. When God already said, I blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't understand how you can convince somebody who is already convinced. Can you see that? God is not blessing you because of you. If God was to bless you because of you, you would have no blessing. because you don't even qualify. God is blessing you because you are coming to God in the name of Jesus Christ. So the Father blesses you as much as He blesses Christ. That's what the Bible says. We are joint heirs with Christ. Now listen, God is not blessing you because of you. He's blessing you because of Christ, His Son. You cannot convince somebody who is already convinced to bless you. We are focusing on the wrong thing when it comes to the kingdom. Our focus is not on God blessing us. Our focus is in receiving the blessing of the Father. And the Bible says we have a problem, the mind problem. That is the person that stands between us and our spirit man. And Bible says it is warfare. We have to set our mind. We have to set it. Now, like we said, before you can even set your mind, you need to have a value you are setting the mind to. And our spirit man, the heavenly man, is the value. Now, you see, I think the assignment everyone should actually have as the year comes to an end is this, that we should explore the dimensions of God's grace, the multidimensional grace, the multifaceted grace of God, the dimensions of grace that God has given us in Christ Jesus. Now, you could actually spend all your energy and time to look at this and it'd be worthwhile. In fact, the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesian church. He said that the eyes of your understanding be opened, that you be flooded with light in your understanding, so that you can know the hope of His calling and the inheritance that He has put in the saints. Acts chapter 20 verse 24 says, I commend you unto God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. The building up there means is able to open your understanding. So it says so that you can understand the inheritance that is in the saints. That's Acts 20:24. Can you see that? So the Bible is simply saying to us that we have a lot of mind setting to do to the value of the heavenly man. But you know one thing? At least we need to know the heavenly man to start with. And that's what it says there.
Yeah, there are two things to draw from here in Colossians 3, you know, just like you have illustrated,
yeah,
that we need to know, we need to set.
We can't set,
we
unless,
cannot set
unless
we
know what
know,
value we're setting.
And then that's heavenly value.
The heavenly man, yeah.
And bringing it back to the story, we see the prodigal, those two sons,
mm-hmm,
if they were able to remember the heavenly value that they were, there was sonship on their head.
Mm.
The price of their adoption, they were sons.
Mm.
And so when they look around, and maybe when the younger son look around and saw pigs and thinking his case is just like below the servant, below the slave level, at the slave level, if he understood that it was the heavenly value on him was the sonship, they would need to set, as we see in Colossians 3, and bring it.
Mm.
And then we talk about, in that Colossians 3 too, he was talking about we set our affections on above, that is heavenly. So we cannot just take our business review report. We can't take what the fiscal policy of the nation is saying and say we are going to set our value on what they say, what the expert around the medical expert
not even what the doctor said.
Say, not the medical experts. We cannot afford to say it because he told us where to set it on heaven. Yes, things above. So you cannot just set it anyhow. So that's the first step, is to know what this heavenly value. We need to know the value we're working
into. We cannot set our minds unless we know what we're setting our minds
to. So the heavenly value, and I don't want somebody to be scratching their head and say, where can I know? Where is heavenly value? The Romans 8 was like, you cannot say that who we go to bring this thing up.
To bring Christ from heaven. You cannot say we'll go down to the grave to raise up Christ from the dead. It said the word is near you. The word is in your mouth. He said it's in your heart, the word of faith that we preach. It's right there. The heavenly man is right there in your spirit. And
so
that's what he's saying.
The heavenly value system we are talking about, in which you need first to know in order to set our mind aright, is enough. So that's why we are being encouraged to go as this year runs into end, and we go every day to know what
time
this
to
heavenly value
the dimensions
is,
of that grace.
To know what these heavenly values, what they are, what it says of you. And then when you look at that, no matter what the environment and everything is, just like that thermostat analogy, then we begin to set it and return. No, this is not me.
No, that's
this
that,
is
that,
not me.
That can't
this
be me.
Not, that can't be me. This is not what is said of me. You know, we just need to first of all establish. We'll take our time to establish what those heavenly values are about us, and then we do the constant laboring of resetting. And so that answers my first question. How many times do you need to do it?
You have to keep,
because you see the younger son, he started for the first time. It was like he sat back and thought within himself, oh, are there no better slaves in my father's house? So maybe if we ponder more and ponder more and do so much of resetting, and so
it's the battle.
So nobody can tell you how to do this one. Some people, they just need to maybe some 5-7 hours or something to every day, and they are okay, but you don't know where you're coming from, so you might just be far off. So you need to do constantly, just like the washing of the water
by the word.
You do it until you reset. You first of all establish this and you reset.
And you see, there's one thing that you said, and I think we need to make this point very clear. Some people are wondering, for some people ask the question, how many hours am I supposed to pray as a Christian? I remember some few months ago there was this contention on the social media about how many hours a woman is supposed to pray, you know, that kind of stuff. And I see people ask the question, how many hours we need to pray to be a prayerful Christian? Is it 30 minutes? Is it 1 hour? Is it 2 hours? Is it 3 hours? How many hours does it take to be a prayerful Christian? And I think the reason people ask this kind of question is out of confusion, because we're thinking that our prayers is a means of actually propelling God to do something for us. And that's why Jesus Christ said, before you open your mouth, your Heavenly Father knows what your needs are. You can't convince God with your prayer. The reason we pray, the reason we pray is not to convince God, it's to convince ourselves. And that's why for some people, you might need 30 minutes of prayer daily. For some people, you might need 1 hour. Some might need 2 hours of prayer. So what prayer does, it does something to us, because we are the ones that need to get our minds set on what God said. And that's the way the whole point is. So that's why we talk about the motivation for righteousness. So the reason we pray, the reason why we study the word, is to keep setting this mind. That's the point. So set our mind on things of the heavenly man. And you see, if the younger son and the elder son in Luke 15 had actually understood this, they would have been able to walk in the fullness of what the Father actually had for them.
I think we are going to draw the curtains on this episode today.
Yeah.
And so I have this big news to tell you, that next weekend we'll be rounding up all this.
The Prodigal Father series.
So it's just going to be like a crash course. If you have missed any episode, you don't want to miss this last two, the Saturday and Sunday, 7 p.m. UK time, that we are going to just finish it up. And so it's going to be very powerful. I am trusting God. Amen. And so I want you to join us, especially for this last, the last episodes.
Yeah,
the Saturday
next Saturday,
Saturday
and next Sunday, we'll be rounding up on this series, the Prodigal Father series.
And if you've missed any of this series, you can just want to go back and check any of the episodes from this Prodigal Father series to really understand before we move to something else. So we want to say bye, and so we see you next week, Saturday, 7 p.m., and Sunday, 7 p.m. Bye.
Bye.